Welcome to Throwing Mountains Weekly Strength. I'm your host, Chris Bollinger. For the next 12 minutes or so, we're going to draw strength from the Bible. I encourage you to make this a daily practice on your own. This week, we're kicking off a three-month series entitled Big Topics. What are big topics? In the business world, we would say that these are not tactical topics, but strategic topics. I had a 27-year career in the world of technology, working primarily for software companies. I started off as a software engineer, but then became a product manager. Near the end of my tech career, I and four other men started a Wi-Fi company in Akron, Ohio, in a former Goodrich factory building in which my father and grandfather had worked. So I was an entrepreneur in my 40s. The company that I helped start lasted for 6 years. In those 6 years, I learned a lot, not just about business, but about life. Before we started our business, we spent a full year, building our business plan. For a year, we focused on questions such as these. What problems will our products solve? Who has these problems? How many of these organizations are there in the market? How are they solving those problems today? How will we persuade them to switch to our products? How many of them do we need to win over to get our business off the ground and turn a profit? All these questions were big picture questions. To answer them, we had to think strategically. A few years after we got our business going, our focus shifted. We still spent some of our time wrestling with strategic, big picture issues, but short-term tactical issues began to garner more of our attention. Issues such as, how do we reduce costs? How do we keep our current customers happy? What are our competitors doing, and how should we respond? For many of us, the Christian life has a similar dynamic to starting and running a business. When you first become a Christian, you spend a lot of time contemplating the big picture. What are the most important things in life? How should I live? What changes do I need to make in my priorities? A few years down the road, however, your focus shifts more to day-to-day issues. Strategic takes a back seat to tactical. For the next 13 weeks, I'm going to focus on strategic topics for Christian men. Today, I'll start with this question. What does it mean to be courageous? The Bible passage for this episode is Joshua 1, 5 to 9. I'll read it from the ESV, the English Standard Version. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Moses led the Israelites for 40 years. When he died, Joshua had to lead the Israelites across the Jordan River and into the land that God had promised to give them. Joshua was replacing the only leader his people had ever known. He had to coordinate the movements of thousands and thousands of people. He had to ensure that these people were protected and had adequate food and water. Most importantly, he had to lead the Israelite army into battle against entrenched, unknown enemies. The future of every Israelite depended on Joshua's performance as a leader. Joshua had never led before. he needed courage to lead. So God encouraged Joshua. God spoke courage into him, using repetition to reassure Joshua and fill him with courage. Three times, God not only told Joshua to be strong and courageous, but also told him how and why he could be strong and courageous. At the end of the speech, Joshua was ready to lead. Over 1,200 years later, the disciples of Jesus faced challenges similar to those that Joshua had faced. These disciples weren't leading a nation or leading an army, but in some ways, their mission was even more radical and more daunting, and it would be opposed by nearly everyone, including the leaders of their own people, the Jews. Those same leaders had orchestrated the arrest, trial, and execution of Jesus. Those actions caused his disciples, 12 young men who had followed him for 3 years, to scatter. Judas, who had betrayed Jesus to the authorities, committed suicide. The remaining 11 went into hiding. Jesus, of course, rose from the dead, but 40 days later, he ascended into heaven, leaving his disciples and other followers without a leader. They knew their mission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Where would this ragtag group find the courage to achieve this mission? They got it a few days later. Here's Acts 2, 1-4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When we talk about the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, we tend to focus a lot on the tongues. But consider what happened next. Thousands of people gathered, and Peter boldly told them that God had raised Jesus from the dead and made him Lord and Christ, or Messiah. The disciple who had denied Jesus 3 times spoke boldly in front of thousands of people. In response, 3,000 men became followers of Christ that day. A few days later, Peter healed a man who had been lame from birth, and several thousand more men became believers. But then the disciples began to face opposition. Their courage was tested, and it would be tested again and again and again. Peter and John were arrested by the Jewish leaders. Those leaders asked the pair to explain the power or name by which they had healed the lame man. Peter boldly declared that the act had been done in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom the leaders had crucified and whom God had raised from the dead. The leaders could not refute that a lame man had been healed, but they did not want Jesus proclaimed as a risen Savior, so they warned Peter and John and the rest of the followers of Jesus not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Peter and John replied that they would be obedient to God and continue to speak of what they had seen and heard. So now they and all followers of Jesus had powerful enemies. Soon more disciples were arrested. They might have been killed if not for the intervention of the prominent Pharisee Gamaliel, who spoke to the other Pharisees about other political movements that had arisen and then failed. "Keep away from these men and let them alone," said Gamaliel. "If this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." The effects of Gamaliel's intervention, however, didn't last long. A dispute between some Jews and a Christian named Stephen led to Stephen's execution by stoning. That sparked a great persecution against Christians in Jerusalem, with a Pharisee named Saul going house to house to arrest followers of Jesus. As Saul headed for Damascus to do the same thing there, he had a vision of Jesus and was struck blind. 3 days later, he became a follower of Jesus and changed from persecutor to bold champion. After learning that the Jews in Damascus planned to kill him, Saul escaped the city at night and headed to Jerusalem to join the disciples there. But the disciples still feared him. After Barnabas, a man trusted by the disciples, vouched for Saul, Saul went throughout Jerusalem and preached boldly there. But Jews sought to kill Saul, so the disciples sent him to his home city of Tarsus. Inspired by Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, other Christian leaders acted with more courage, and the church grew. But so did persecutions. Paul, for example, endured imprisonments, beatings, whippings, a stoning, shipwrecks, and other hardships before being beheaded. Nearly every other apostle was martyred too, as were thousands of other early Christians. They chose tremendous suffering and often gruesome deaths over renouncing their faith in Jesus. God gave them the courage to build the church. We are that church today. God will give us the same courage if we truly want it. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Next week, I'll look at the big topic of evil. I hope you'll join me for that. Please pick up a copy of 52 Weeks of Strength for Men. You'll find it to be a good resource on this journey. Have a good week, men.